Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hanging out with Clint Sterner and Wade Smith, I'm Jeremy Branham. We're broadcasting live from the Bear Bryant Awards at the Post Oak Hotel Uptown. This is my first time at one of the Bear Bryant Awards. I'm really happy to be here, honored to be here. And some of these names on this list, here are the 10 finalists. Ryan Day, Ohio State. Sonny Dykes, SMU. PJ Fleck, University of Minnesota. James Franklin, Penn State. Ken Niumatalolo, Navy. Mike Norvell, Memphis. Ed Orgeron, LSU national champions. Matt Rhule, Baylor, now with Carolina. Dabo Swinney and Kyle Whittingham. Those are 10 of the top names in college football, and you can make a case for just about any of those guys, although I have one that it's probably going to go to.
You might have one that it's probably going to go to, but I'm going to tell you the one that it should go to. GTG, baby. Go Tigers, go. Mike Norvell.
You'll notice that most of these coaches, not most, but a good chunk of these coaches are from the American Conference. Power six, guys. Power six.
Baby.
Just saying, you guys. Memphis, y'all SMU, Navy, 30% right here, Power 6. Better than that. Are you talking about Power 3, Power 4 maybe even.
Are you guys through? Hey, JB, you're as bad as me talking that, pulling that SEC flag out with Arkansas winning two games over there, man.
I'm going to plant that flag. Did you guys catch the Rockets game yesterday? Fell to Memphis 121-110. Russell Westbrook did not play, but boy, Jay Morant is a problem. I told you the guys this at the beginning of the season. When they played the Grizzlies, like in the first week or two, Morant can go. He's not very big, but he can go.
You know, when I watch youngsters like that, a lot of the times you go, man, you know, are they a little bit high on themselves? Are they a little bit ahead of the game? A lot of times you want to go, hey, young fella, pump the brakes, man. You ain't quite there yet. But when you talk about Ja Morant, I mean, this dude, I love the way he plays the game. I mean, you know who he reminds me of?
Who is that?
Lou Williams. Out there in with the Clippers. I mean, yeah. His ability to score, he's leaner and thinner.
And more athletic.
He's 20 years younger. But the point is like his ability to get to the rack is really special. But then you can tell he's got that dog in him. Like, I don't want y'all to give me anything. I'm going to find a way to earn y'all's respect. And he talked about last night about shooting the rock. Nobody believes in the fact that he can shoot the rock. Well, he clearly lit it up last night and won a basketball game. So he was a treat to watch. Unfortunately, it came at the expense of the Rockets, but it really enjoyed watching him last night, no doubt.
Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham broadcasting live from the Bear Bryant Awards Post Oak Hotel. Had Lee Corso on earlier. We're going to have a ton of coaches, some of the best minds in college football. And joining us now is one of those, PJ Fleck, joining us now, the coach of Minnesota. At 11 wins this season, finished ranked in the top 10 nationally. Coach, thanks so much for coming on. What does it mean to be one of these finalists for the Bear Bryant Awards up against some of the biggest names in college football?
Oh, it's truly an honor, you know, especially when you're one of the young coaches in the profession and you get a chance to be around all these elite coaches. But it really is a staff award. I think every coach will be able to tell you that in terms of just being here. Your staff gets recognized for just the elite work that they were able to do. Not only that, your players. And I've been 1-11 before. I've been the worst coach in America. I've been coach of the year 3 times. It's been a roller coaster ride. But every time I'm somewhere like this is because we have truly elite people and elite players.
Coach, you talk about those elite players and your coaching staff. And obviously, I've heard you speak many times about how important they are to you, man. How do you go about, and you've had to do it multiple times now, how do you go about building a staff? What kind of guys are you looking for, and how long have some of the guys been with you that have been key parts to your success?
I think it's always critical to be able to keep a nucleus of guys, and I've got a nucleus of guys that I've had for 8 years now. And, you know, when you're a young head coach and you take over, you need that stability. Now, we've also had a lot of young guys go out and move. I mean, Mo Lindquist was just named the DB coach of the Dallas Cowboys who worked for me. And, you know, you have all these young guys that I bring in. And, you know, you do everything you can to develop them, then you get them out as fast as you can. I like to have turnover in my staff, but I also like to keep that core nucleus that's been with me. But these men have understood what failing means. They have been fired before. They know how to handle adversity. They're amazing teachers. They're great recruiters. They're wonderful husbands and fathers. And they're just wonderful role models for our young people. And if you get yourself around elite people, you are going to do elite things, period. And that's what I've been able to do. The only reason why I'm sitting here today is because literally I've surrounded myself with people that are absolutely elite. I got an 18 on my ACT, guys. Like, it is, like this isn't some savant right in front of you. So the people around me have truly helped me fulfill my dream, and my job is to make sure I help them fulfill theirs.
Mentors, coach, you're in a building today with some big-time coaches. Over golly, 40 years of coaching, 35, 40 years of coaching, man. Your mentors, man, what guys, when you were coming up through the ranks, I mean, who taught you the most? Who'd you learn from? What experiences did you build on?
Yeah, I think Jim Tressel was the ultimate teacher for me, and I was only with him 11 months, but you get around a guy like that who is the complete coach, whether it's on the field, whether it's off the field, really coaching the complete person. He did so much for my life, truly changed my life. And then Mike Nolan, who I played for in San Francisco, and Mike McCarthy, and those guys were just absolutely critical in my development as a football player, which inevitably you become a really smart coach if you can be a really good player and you learn from really good people. So those guys were tremendous for me, and then obviously my spiritual life is really important to me too.
Coach, P.J. Fleck joining us from Minnesota, won 11 games this season, finished ranked in the top 10. We know you from Row the Boat. That's something that is synonymous with your name, Row the Boat. Can you tell us the story behind it, where it came from, and why it's so significant for your program?
Yeah, it's simple. It's a never-give-up mantra, right? Everybody sings, you know, row, row, row your boat to kids. So it's very simple. But February 9th, 2011, I lost my second son, Colt, to a heart condition. And if anybody's ever been through that, it's a tragic time, right? But what I wanted to do, I knew what my path was going to be. I wanted to be able to be a head football coach, and I knew that there were so many slogans out there that are just rally cries, which is fine. It's based on tradition. But I wanted something way deeper with meaning that could really help people, really connect a community, because I knew that as a young head coach, I wasn't going to get the Alabama right off the bat. You're going to have to rebuild programs. You're going to have to do it in non-traditional places, and you're going to have to do it a unique way. And that's what Row the Boat's about. So it's about the energy. It's about the sacrifice, and it's about the compass of your life. And if you can get yourself around elite people, you can have energy, and you can live a life of serving and giving. You can accomplish anything. And we're the only football program that has its slogan directly tied to charity, and we've raised over hundreds of thousands of dollars for the Masonic Children's Hospital through the Row the Boat Fund there, and it's powerful to be able to teach young men by the time they leave college to have their own philanthropy, have their own charity, have their own mindset of when they do play in the NFL, they now have an opportunity to do what they want to do instead of some agent telling them what they should do.
Coach, I played at the University of Arkansas, and I played at a time when Nolan Richardson was the basketball coach. He was an African-American basketball coach who was doing things a little bit unorthodox. And I asked him one day, like, how do you put blinders on and do what you do? Because it's so different. It's four panels, eight laces, man. You're playing football, but the way you go about your business is so different. How do you put those blinders on and block out all the noise and stay committed to all the things that the values and principles of your program?
Well, first and foremost, I'm embedded in my faith, right? So no human being can ever tell me anything that's going to get me off of my mission and my goal, right? Football allows us to have a platform. Every single one of us, whether it's an NFL player, whether it's a coach, simply a platform. Like I said, I've been the worst coach in America. I've been one of the best coaches in America. That will never faze me in terms of what we're doing. We have a mission. We have a job to do, and we're going to do that. My wife, Heather, is instrumental in everything that I do. She's my biggest motivator. She's my biggest inspiration. The sacrifices she's made to come along to this football journey is just incredible. And to be honest with you, this might sound a little bit harsh. I don't want everyone to like me. If you have everybody liking you, then you're not standing up for something that you believe in. There's nothing that we're doing that's wrong. Right, we're just different. We do it in a unique way with a unique perspective and positivity and energy. We do it through a row the boat type way, and it's been really successful, right? And so I'm not here to be liked by everybody. I am here to be respected and loved by my players, and I love them. But you really have a mission, and there's going to be a lot more doubters in your life if you're successful than there are people telling you're doing a great job.
Big Ten football, when you hear that and when that gets put out there, that means something. When you're looking at guys that you're looking to recruit and bring into your program, talking about student athletes, what type of guys and what type of character are you looking to bring in to play for you and in Big Ten?
Yeah, everybody always talks about the stars and the rankings. We have 5 4-star players on our team, 5, right? Everybody else is 2 and 3 stars, right? And we just beat Auburn, who has 56 4 stars, right? So when you start to talk about what that means is you start to talk about the inside of a person, right? Their heart, their spirit, their unconquerable will, their life mission. What are they going to do when they have an opportunity, and what are they going to do with it? How many times have they failed? Have they been able to come back from all of that? We call them our kind of guys, and we're going to continue to stay true to that. I think one of the biggest questions I've gotten is, now you're a top 10 program coach, which we made the top 10. I don't know if people consider us a top 10 program yet, but we are in the top 10. is that going to change the way you recruit? Absolutely not. We didn't get any other recruit committed to us because we won 11 games. We were able to hold on to guys a little bit more. But other than that, we have a formula of who we like, what we do, who fits our system, who fits our culture, who wants to live a life of serving and giving somehow, some way. And then we go out and find those guys.
Coach P.J. Fleck at the University of Minnesota joining us on Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Coach, I was a part of a coaching change, so somewhat of a rebuild. I've witnessed, unfortunately, my alma mater go through it multiple times over, since I've been done. You've crushed it at a couple of places rebuilding. I've always thought that the third and fourth year of a rebuild is more difficult than the first or second because now your upperclassmen are guys that somebody else recruited and somebody else, they were there when you got there. What's your approach to a rebuild? What's your thought on that opinion?
Yeah, very simple in terms. We have a step-by-step formula that we do. Year one's a dig, no matter what. Because the dig's really hard. Who's in, who's out? It takes about 18 months, I think, to get everybody who's really bought in and committed to actually be able to say, we're all here for all the right reasons, right? Because when you get through the first year, that's great. Some people can make it. But then your first big recruiting class comes in. And next thing you know, they're not playing. So then it's 14, 15 months after when you first got there. Now, listen, they want to leave. They want to transfer. Something didn't go right. So year one's all about the dig. Year two's about a foundation. And we've gotten way younger before we've gotten older, right? And so you have to pay the price of change at some point. Some people pay it on the front end like we do. Some people pay it on the back end. If you're paying it on the back end, you better have your new deal in place, right? Because if you don't, those are usually those third year, fourth year, fifth year hot seats that some guys don't make it to. So for us, year one's a dig. Year two is the foundation where that concrete we compare it to hardens when your freshmen grow up. We were the youngest team in America last year. Our second year at Western Michigan, we were the youngest team in America. It's a step-by-step formula that we have where those upperclassmen join with this core nucleus of freshmen that are really talented. You get them out there, all play as true freshmen. You take your lumps, you get beat up on the chin a little bit, but they grow up way faster. They mature a lot faster. Then you get to year three, and then it becomes the framework. By year three, you start to drive by that house and see what it looks like. Like, you can actually start to see the framing. Like, that's what they're building. And we were picked 6 in the West this year. We ended 11-2. Made over 100 nevers that have never been done in the history of the University of Minnesota happen, and over 60 restorations. An example of restoration would be the first time we won 11 games since 1904. So that would be a restoration because we've done it. We just haven't done it for 115 years or 70 years or 60 years. And we're very proud of those things. So, again, we'll springboard into year four and whatever comes that way. We already have our kind of motto and slogan for what that's, but I don't want to share that just yet.
Do you ever think the framework was 11 wins and top 10 in the nation in year three?
We thought it could be anything. We showed this team, which I only did at year four at Western Michigan. I showed them the ability to go to Detroit, and we showed them where the Lions play. We showed them Ford Field in January of that fourth year at Western Michigan, and we ended up being there. We showed them Lucas Oil Stadium in January. Now, we didn't get there, but we won 11 games. We wouldn't show that year one. I would never show that in year two. We showed that this team had the ability to do it because we had 11 seniors that were powerful. They stayed through the change. They're very talented, but they stayed over all the people that left. They stayed. And then we combined them with the guys that we brought in to recruit, and then they took off. Because, again, those freshmen all played, had a whole year of Big Ten experience. Guys like Rashad Bateman. And then all of a sudden he comes in as a sophomore, and now he's Big Ten wide receiver of the year and has a tremendous year.
Coach, how do you manage what you just alluded to of guys staying and guys leaving? And I think that's always been a problem in college football because guys can leave and had to sit out a year. Nowadays they can leave at the drop of a hat. Nowadays you're dealing with a different being than how we grew up. It's a different cat. And how do you deal and manage that aspect of being a head coach in today's game?
Yeah, first of all, people are leaving Minnesota early, which we now have. That's a good thing. I always tell them it's a good thing. If we have that good of players at the University of Minnesota that are coming out early, we're doing something right. Communication is key in everything, in every relationship, and that's a relationship with your players. It's a tough conversation because you have a kid that doesn't want to tell you he wants to leave, or a family that might want to do that. It's a very open talk. We go through all of the proper paperwork with the National Football League. First, second rounder, come to the NFL. If it isn't, they suggest that you stay in. Now, have some guys gone against that? Yes. And some guys stayed with that? Yes. But it truly is a family decision. My job is to be able to educate the best I possibly can, because I'm never going to limit one of our players an opportunity to go make millions of dollars. That's what we all want our players to be able to do. Go be successful in this sport of football, and if you can't, then go be successful in the business world or whatever else you're going to pick. It's the same thing. It's helping them find a job, and if they can get that job earlier and it's worth it, we'll help them. But we've got to educate them to make sure they don't make really bad decisions listening from people they just met. So that starts in recruiting, and then their freshman year, their sophomore year, and the junior year. Because if you're a coach they trust, they'll listen to you. If you're a coach they don't trust, they won't listen to you. And the person that just came in their life 4 weeks ago, they'll think is all glitz and glamour. It's sounding way better than what my coach is telling me. I'm going to go with that.
Player safety is a huge deal in the NFL, and of course it's something that is being focused on in the college football level as well. What are your thoughts on the targeting rule? Do you think there's some things that need to be adjusted with that? Are you a fan of it? What's your thought about
I love the targeting it. We rule? Got this question yesterday at the AFCA with the head coaches meetings with Todd Barry, and I think it's exactly where it needs to be. I think, you know, having the concussion or the actual targeting rule have two different repercussions, especially at our level. But I think, you know, the one thing I don't like about the rule is the player being walked off the field, being cheered, being booed. You know, you have an opposing fan cheering that this kid just gave a targeting penalty. And we wonder why kids flick off the stands in that moment of passion or that moment all that stuff running through his veins, the adrenaline. So I think we're in a right place of protecting players. I mean, I got flagged this year. I ran onto the field at Iowa. My guy got hit, went down. He was motionless. I took off on the field, and they flagged me for it. I said, hold on a second. A guy at Michigan got criticized for not going on the field and pulling out his quarterback about 8 years ago, and you're going to flag me for that? So I think we're in the right position with the concussion protocol. I think it's tremendous where it's at. I think when in doubt, we're throwing flags. But I think our officials are getting better, because the review process is better. I think the verbiage is better in terms of crown of the helmet when it dips and where it hits. I think we're able to take the targeting off if it was called, and then we review it, and it happened to be a shoulder to the sternum or something like that. I think we're in a really good position with it.
Coach, how do you combat that? Not combat's not the right word, but how do you train your guys at practice on a daily tackling? I was a quarterback, so tackling I don't know anything about since about junior high, to be completely. I hated doing it. I hated getting hit. That's why I played quarterback. But I mean, I could think, like, how in the hell do you teach a kid or a bunch of 18 to 22 year olds how to tackle a guy running a 4.4 down the sideline?
Well, the biggest thing is, you know, everybody, it's all through education. It starts at the young levels. If we could do something, and I think USA football's onto something and what they're able to do in terms of this progression of tackling through youth sports, through youth football. And I think I do a lot of work with them, and I think they're on the right path of being able to implement things at certain times, depending on their age, instead of just having a kid start tackling at 5, 6 years old. There should be a progression like there is every other sport that we have. So for us, being a contact sport, we work on it every day. We do a tackling circuit every single day with no pads on. It's the first thing we do, and it's the last thing we do. But we do a lot of things that, instead of hitting somebody high, if they're in the air, we do a lot of things with pads where we'll flip them or do things like that. Every pad we have that we actually hit has a target zone on it to make sure that we can teach that tackling. Whether it's the rugby roll, whatever it is, I mean, all these inventions of these tackles or these improvements of tackles have been installed into college football, and you can't get better at them unless you're working at them. And we work on them even in the offseason the best we possibly can. We can only see bags.
P.J. Fleck, the coach at Minnesota, won 11 games this year. First time since 1902, Coach Fleck?
04,
since Minnesota's won 11 games, finished ranked in the top 10 in the nation. What are goals that you have for yourself and goals that you have for your team?
Well, I think just for us as coaching staff is just continue to be able to be blessed with a platform to be able to serve and give these kids and give these kids a platform to be able to, hopefully, it's not just about football. It's not just about winning, not just about losing. It's about your life and how and what this game can truly teach all of us. But for me, it's just to change as many lives as we possibly can while we have the platform to do it. We all know this is a very volatile profession. Like I said before, I've been the worst and the best and everything else in between there. But for our players and our program, it's to continue to get better. Everybody always asks me about wins and losses. I said, look, if our team's better today than they were yesterday, we're doing our job. And if they're better tomorrow, academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, tomorrow than we were today, we're doing our job. And I think our GPA shows that. We have a 3.21 GPA as a football program, which is the best in the history of our school. Plus, we just won 11 games. I mean, someone have to tell me a lot that that's not correlated. You get the right people who do all the right things in all of their life, plus football, you can win a lot of games.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.